Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Monday, June 22nd, 2026. Hope you're all doing well as we kick off the new week. Of course, Yanks did very frustratingly lose a series against the Cincinnati Reds at home. Particularly the Sunday game was extra frustrating because the lineup, not even so much the arrangement 1-9, not our best defensive team put out yesterday. In the end, not going to focus too much on this past weekend series. It's baseball. They lost 2 out of 3. There were some things that I didn't love, mainly just being the defense, but the Yankees, especially again Sunday, did not field their best defensive team. There's some more things to discuss. We're going to talk about the catching situation. That'll be later on in the show, but we got a big show today. We're going to discuss Tarik Skubal. That's mainly going to be the theme of this episode. We're also going to touch on some Ryan Jeffers, as well as towards the tail end, we'll do a little preview on what is a 7-game road trip beginning tonight against the Tigers, 3 in Detroit and then 4 in Fenway against the Red Sox. But yeah, 7-game road trip begins tonight. We'll be live for every single game of the Detroit series. We'll be live for at least 2 of the 4 Boston games. But nonetheless, we are here live right now to discuss the obvious, which is Tarik Skubal. We're going to hear from Ken Rosenthal in just a minute. In the meantime, if you guys could leave a like on the stream, it does help out a great deal. Of course, the Morning Yankee Show, we're live every single morning, Monday through Friday, usually right around 8 a.m., sometimes 9 a.m. Tomorrow will be probably another 8:15 start. But yeah, let's get into today's show. And I want to kick it off by playing exactly what Ken Rosenthal said over the weekend, which was during Fox's broadcast, Saturday night, Mets and Phillies, and was pretty much laying down what's going on with Tarik Skubal, which it sounds like the industry expects Skubal to be dealt. And take a listen to what Rosenthal said, and then we'll get into our side of things, because the Yankees seemingly very much could slash will be involved.
I still believe he gets traded, and Joe, to answer your question, the biggest contenders, the Dodgers, the Yankees, all of those teams, regardless of need, they're going to be in there at least exploring the deal.
Is it a massive prospect ask even for 2 months?
It is, but the clubs that are interested will counter by saying, we're taking on more than $10 million in salary and we're giving you a ton of prospects. That's tough to do for any rental.
All right, so the main takeaways there is, first things first, despite the AL Central being still pretty weak and the Tigers are 33-34 entering tonight, they're only 7.5 games back. It sounds like, even though I wouldn't consider their season to be a lost cause if I was a Tigers fan, or, you know, if I was in their front office, it sounds like, whether it be what Rosenthal said or if you just read the tea leaves, Tarik Skubal in all likelihood is going to get traded. So that, let's just operate off that assumption for right now, that this is very much a possibility he gets dealt by the August 3rd deadline. What is also known, obviously, is he's a free agent at year's end, so he would be just a rental. What's also known, and Rosenthal said it as well, and this is obvious, it would take a massive haul of prospects. Now, let's kind of just like cut to the chase here. What did he just say? Among the top contenders, the two that he named specifically, the Dodgers and the Yankees. And that's what we have to talk about here. And we'll get into my opinion in just a moment. But first things first, let's lay it out with like this. What would it take to acquire Tarik Skubal? Obviously a boatload of prospects. On our end, it would include George Lombard Jr. It may include Carlos Agranje as well. And for good reason. I mean, listen, the Tigers don't have to trade him. And any team that's involved in these sweepstakes is going to be offering the equivalent of that package. Now, make no mistake, with that said, it's one conversation of, would the Yankees be willing to do that? And I'll tell you, if they're actually down to pursue this possibility, they do not, I mean, I guess they would make the phone call without stomaching the possibility of giving up Lombard. But just being realistic here, this deal on the Yankees end of things is not getting done unless you were to include him. Lombard, of course, being the Yankees' top prospect, the heir to the throne of shortstop, maybe the alternate to Anthony Volpe in terms of a Yankee shortstop up-and-coming prospect that will actually work out. Granted, Volpe's been hitting a little bit lately, but we're not here to discuss that. We like Lombard a lot. I'm excited about Lombard. The Yankees clearly are as well. So are the Tigers. And if the Yankees were to want to get this deal done, it would include him. I'm going to give more of my thoughts on that in just a moment. But of course, Skubal, we know, is the best pitcher in baseball. Now, you go this far into the year, you could say it's Cam Schlittler, it's Jacob Mizrowski, it's Christopher Sanchez. whatever, fine. But going just off of since the start of 2024, you guys know the stats. I didn't have to tell them to you. But for those who don't know, an audio only, since the start of 2024, he's 34-13, 2.39 ERA, whip under one, two-time Cy Young Award winner. We know how great Tarik Skubal is. And that's why if it's not us willing to give up a guy like Lombard, as well as possibly Carlos Lagrange, I mean, we're talking about a package that would be headlined by George Lombard Jr. It would be a massive, massive boat of prospects going back to Detroit, whoever's looking to get this deal done. And again, Rosenthal mentions specifically the Yankees and the Dodgers as the two expected, at least, top contenders, most aggressive suitors for potential deal with Tarik Skubal. So with that in mind, let's get this out of the way. Do the Yankees need Tarik Skubal? No, we do not need him. And I know for a fact there's a lot of Yankee fans. And actually, you know what? Actually, for a legitimate fact, because I put up a poll last night because I wanted to gather how you guys feel. And I put it out there, just the report that we just read, Yankees and Dodgers expected to be involved. It would probably take George Lombard Jr. And I asked, put out four options. What would you guys feel about this? And the first option being, yes, I'd include Lombard, whatever it takes. 24% of you voted that option. 24% of you said, yes, whatever it takes, go get Skubal. Then I had three other variations of no. 36% said, no, not if it includes Lombard. 30% said, no, I want him, but not that badly. I guess that's kind of the same exact one, I just realized, two and three. And then four was, no, I don't want him, period. The last option, I don't understand not being interested in Skubal. But overall, what we take from this poll is, while 24% of you are saying, yes, whatever it takes, go get Tarik Skubal, majority of you are saying, don't do it. And largely because it would include George Lombard Jr. Now, as for that last option that says, no, I don't want him, period, while I say I don't understand that, I can understand the surface level thought of you saying the Yankees don't need him because we know about our postseason rotation, Cam, Fried, Cole, Rodon. That is a really good and arguably already the best 1-4 come October. The Yankees don't need Skubal. We know that. The problem, though, is if we do not get him, if we don't get Skubal, if we don't offer George Lombard Jr. to the Tigers, which, trust me, I'm not excited about the idea of doing. But if we don't, who is the other team that was mentioned? The Dodgers. What happens if the Dodgers get Tarik Skubal? As far as I'm concerned, I mean, our fate would be sealed. Now, that's very dramatic, obviously. But it's also very dramatic on the flip side as well. If the Yankees were to get Skubal, then more than any other deal that we could possibly make, which, by the way, it's not all, you know, exclusive from one another, where if you get Skubal, that means you can't acquire a reliever as well. Or you can't still go out and get Ryan Jeffers. If the Dodgers were to get Skubal, the only hope that we would have is that it's baseball. Whereas on the flip, if we were to get Skubal, more than any other move, any other hole that we could fill, which you can still do, this would be the most certain, confident, nearly guarantee that we would finally win the World Series. Again, on the flip, if the Dodgers get him, it's almost a guarantee, near certainty, that they would repeat yet again. So that's really where I come from with this. It's not that the Yankees need Skubal. And if it's a thing where, in a perfect world, if you're not acquiring him, and then the perfect world we illustrate here is, he remains a Detroit Tiger, or he goes to a team, honestly, almost anybody that's not the Dodgers, I could live with it a little more. The motivation here more so comes from the fact of, if we don't get him, the Dodgers will. It almost reminds me a lot of Cliff Lee in 2010. Now, obviously, Skubal's better than Lee, but top pitcher available, the Yankees had a deal in place to go get Cliff Lee from the Mariners. And there was a lot of falling out that happened, but the deal was set in place. And the Yankees had David Adams in the deal. David Adams ended up getting hurt. And then the Mariners at the time, who had Cliff Lee, wanted Eduardo Nunez, who was the heir to the throne, to Derek Jeter at shortstop. Yankees weren't willing to include him. Deal falls through. Next thing you know, the Mariners send Cliff Lee to the Texas Rangers. And the Rangers, led by Cliff Lee, single-handedly, he's the one that eliminated us that year in the American League Championship Series. It feels very similar to that, to an even higher degree, to where the Dodgers are already our biggest challenge, above the Braves, above the Brewers. And even if they were tied neck and neck, if you look at the National League and who our, you know, biggest opponents were to be, our biggest threats, you only got to face one. It's whoever you are matching up with in the World Series. Until they're removed from being the top dog, I'm only focusing on the Dodgers. And I want to focus on the Dodgers. I want to beat the Dodgers. I want the rematch. All we will have is that it's baseball if they end up getting Skubal. And that's the alternative here. So the Yankees, the way I see it, like, can't let that happen. The good news is they have the ability to do so. But it would take George Lombard Jr. So especially off that notion, particularly solely off of that. Again, the Yankees don't need him. We already have arguably the best starting rotation come October in baseball. And say what you will about Carlos Rodon. This isn't a Rodon thing. Rodon is really good. Since the start of 2025, particularly ever since he was too emotional in that start against Kansas City in the American League Division Series in 2024, since then, he has been truly one of the best starters in the American League. I do trust him in a postseason game. He's pitched well in the postseason. He's also pitched poorly. I'm a Rodon guy, clearly. And if you're not, I understand. But this isn't a thing where Yankees can't start Rodon in the postseason. This isn't a thing where the Yankees need to go out and get another starter. There's nothing else that comes into this conversation besides the fact that it's Tarik Skubal. And if you're not down to do this, I do understand where you come from, because it's like George Lombard Jr. and he's going to be a star. And I think he is too. Imagine, though, picture this. It's August 3rd, the day of the trade deadline. Yankees make their moves and they make good moves. You know, you get Ryan Jeffers. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Yankees get Ryan Jeffers. Yankees acquire a couple relievers and we're feeling good. All the holes that we want to shore up and all things equal, like, all right, we're in a really good spot. And as this is all taking place, you hear the Tigers are not going to trade Tarik Skubal. He's staying pat. And all right, the Yankees upgraded. Nobody's getting Skubal. Cool. It's 5:55, 5 minutes before the deadline. Jeff Passan breaking. Dodgers acquire Tarik Skubal. What happens then? That's where I come from in regards to saying, if I haven't made it clear already, I would be willing to include George Lombard Jr. And I'd be willing to include him knowing that in the future, we'll probably look back, at least in terms of the fact that we had him at one point, and be like, man, this guy's one of the best players in baseball right now, one of the best shortstops in baseball. We had him. But there's a very high chance that we look back in that and say, but it's worth it because we won the World Series in 2026 thanks to Tarik Skubal. You can't let the Dodgers get him. And again, if you were just staying on the Tigers, I wouldn't really be stressing about this. I don't even know if we would lead with it, to be honest. Because again, it's not a thing about the Yankees getting Tarik Skubal just in that. It's about preventing the Dodgers from getting him. And then, oh yeah, by the way, I mean, Skubal, Schlittler, Fried, Cole. And you lose George Lombard Jr. I'm not saying it's a no-brainer, surface-level no-brainer. It's where it's, oh, who cares? Like, it's a prospect, blah, blah, blah. Like, nah. Trust me. I hate the idea of hugging prospects, but it's not a thing where any deal that makes you better, and I've fallen victim to this myself as well, where I'm so against hugging prospects, especially where we're at right now, whether it be Judge getting older, Cole getting older, lockout next year, how much I like this team, and I really already am very confident, as you guys are well aware, that I am in this team. And I think with the proper upgrades, Skubal aside, we will get back to the World Series. And because of our rotation as it currently stands right now, we have a very, very good chance of winning it. And one might say, no, I was listening to Francesa last night, and he was saying how the Yankees don't need Skubal, and he was going along the lines of, if you can't win with this rotation, I mean, you're not going to be able to beat anybody. I would normally agree, but what if the Dodgers get Skubal? So it's a thing where I'm not, contrary maybe to past things that I have said, which I was wrong in doing so, and I was emotional at the time, which for those who don't know, got to always just say this because we like to remove any ego on the show. in the wintertime when the Yankees didn't acquire Freddy Peralta, who just gave up 10 runs to the Mets or to the Phillies, I said, heavily based off of principle, but it is what I said, the Yankees should have given up Lombard for him because I wanted Freddy Peralta bat. That was stupid, and I regret saying that, but I also make sure I always mention it because your word is as good as mine. Maybe it's even better. That was just how I felt at the time. A lot of that was based off of principle, the idea of going all in. This is based off of more than principle, though, because at the time, the Yankees needed a starter. We don't need a starter here. We don't need Skubal. But if the Dodgers get him, as far as I'm concerned, and you guys know I don't talk like this, it would be almost near inevitable that we are screwed. So with that in mind, prevent the Dodgers from getting him, and then, oh yeah, Skubal, Schlittler, Fried, Cole. So it's like, on one hand, Skubal goes to the Dodgers. Feels like a certainty they win it. On the flip, we acquire him, prevent that. And then on our end, it feels almost like a certainty that we finally win and we get 28. And then nobody will care about George Lombard Jr. in the future. It's like a bad free agent contract, but you won in the first year. Look at AJ Burnett. Look at Mark Teixeira. Look at even when the Nationals signed Patrick Corbin. That was like an albatross of a contract. But they won in year one. Same thing along the lines of prospects. The Cubs and Gleyber Torres. Aroldis Chapman, great example. Now, Gleyber didn't pan out to be like exactly what a lot of people thought he'd end up being, because he was a top prospect at the time, and people thought he'd be like a Hall of Famer. He's a solid player, but nothing more. And yes, we know Chapman blew the game six, but Chapman was huge for the Cubs down the stretch and a pivotal part of them getting to the World Series and ultimately winning it despite that game seven Roger Davis homer. Do you think the Cubs, even if Gleyber were to go on to be something great, gave a damn about that? No, because they won. And that's how we'll feel if we win with Tarik Skubal. And the high of that may almost feel worse, or the high of that emotion may be less than the floor of the flip side of that emotion if we don't get Skubal, Dodgers get him, and he basically single-handedly beats us two games in the World Series. And no matter how good George Lombard is, whether it's with us and we didn't get Skubal and the Dodgers beat us this year, and by that time where Lombard's fully panned out, which next year maybe, but it may not be baseball, or Judge is turning 37, Cole's almost done. I mean, Yankees have a good core set up. But how many times have we said core set up, we're set up for the future? We are set up for the future, Lombard or not. With the Yankees, we're in a good spot. We have Rice, we have Cam. We have two guys that are probably, one's going to win the MVP in Ben Rice, one's going to win the Cy Young, both are homegrown. The Yankees farm system is in a great spot, and that's another factor, because if the Yankees' development is clearly on the up and up, trending up at least it seems, and things are going much better than they had previously over the last like decade prior, you can draft another Lombard. And maybe they already have him in Dax Kilby. This isn't about being anti-Lombard, it's pro-Lombard. I know this would hurt, but what hurts more is not winning. What hurts more is getting beaten by the Dodgers again. And if you let him go, Tarik Skubal, if you let him go to the Dodgers, it feels like our fate would be sealed. And you can prevent that from happening. So that's really where I come at with it. I think people can be kind of irritating on a Yankees Twitter to where, like, if anybody's against the idea of trading George Lombard in this deal, they're like, oh, you're an idiot. It's a no-brainer. No, you're not an idiot. Your opinion is just as good as mine. But I felt this way before. I've wanted to hold on to prospects. I've wanted to not hold on to prospects. I've wanted to plan around the future, but the future I planned around was this right here, was the team that we have right now. And when you have a team like you have right now, you capitalize on it, and especially with the Dodgers possibly being involved as well, which you know they would be even before the Rosenthal report, that would be worst case scenario. You can turn that worst case scenario, which is them getting them, into they don't get him and he's on your team. And again, Skubal, Cam, Fried, Cole. There's no other upgrade that I would feel more confident in this team post-deadline than if we were to bring in Tarik Skubal. And that includes bullpen, that includes Ryan Jeffers, which you can still do those things, of course. If the Yankees were to acquire Skubal, they would also, you know, get a reliever or two, and I think they would probably still go get Ryan Jeffers. I would do this deal. I would include George Lombard Jr. to acquire Tarik Skubal. It would be the most confident, most certain I've ever been that the Yankees would win the World Series. I mean, it would be, there'd be no reason for them not to win it. Not, oh, give them a good chance. Right now, we have a good chance. That changes if the Dodgers get him. If the Dodgers get Skubal, I mean, that's, not to keep repeating myself, but that is really where I'd be shitting bricks, Chad. I would be shitting bricks. So don't let that happen. That's where I land. I would include George Lombard Jr., which to some may be a hot take, but also, like, I understand the pushback. I mean, listen, again, like, this poll, I totally get it. On the surface level, like, I would be of the same mindset if the Dodgers didn't exist. And if it's a thing where I had a crystal ball that says it's either the Yankees get him or he remains a Tiger, I don't think I would do it. But if you guys know where I'm coming from here, this is about if you don't get him, the Dodgers will. And that would be a disaster. That's my thoughts on it. Anyways, we're going to move on to some more trade rumors. The next one via Bob Nightingale about the catching situation. But really quick, I want to give a quick shout out to our presenting sponsor of this channel, which is GameStop. We'll be right back after this with a report on Ryan Jeffers. Fantasy football meets the stock market on GameStop. It's incredibly simple. You pick 2 to 4 stocks, compete on a live leaderboard, and top players win real cash from the prize pool. We just launched a brand new Yankees Avenue tournament, which the deadline is soon. Download the GameStop app on Android or iOS. Find the Yankees Ave Tournament and use code Rourke, my last name Rourke, R-O-U-R-K-E. That's your access code. Enter that to get into the tournament. It's a $300 prize pool. The top three players win $100 each, and it's incredibly simple, completely free to sign up. Download GameStop on iOS or Android. Use code JOMBOY, by the way, code JOMBOY, J-O-M-B-O-Y, for $20 in bonus credits, and get in on the Yankees Avenue Tournament. Link in description. All right, huge shout out to GameStop again. Code Rourke gets you into the tournament, which the deadline is like in an hour. Use code Rourke to find the Yankees app tournament. Use code Rourke, get yourself in. Top three players win $100 each. And you can also use code JOMBOY for $20 in bonus credits. Anyways, let's continue on here with a report from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And this report is no secret to us. And the report is that the Yankees wanting Ryan Jeffers is indeed no secret. Now, Wells came back yesterday, and it was not a good first game. Didn't come through with a runner on third base. Had a strikeout, got pinch hit for very early. Catcher's interference in the first inning. I meant it when I said, at least for the time being, because no matter what, we got to deal with the Yankees' current catching situation for at least another month. I'm going to give Wells a little bit of time to, like, I'm not going off of one game to where it's, Wells, you suck. If you feel that way, I think you're well within your rights at this point, but that's neither here nor there. This conversation starts even before what Wells has been this year, which is more often than not an incompetent at bat. It's accelerated by that, but it already existed because we needed a right-handed bat. Ryan Jeffers has always been the clear option. And for those who don't know, I mean, we've talked about him a lot, but for maybe those who are out of loop or just getting back into, you know, Yankee baseball. Now, Jeffers has been on the injured list since May 19th, fractured hamate bone, which definitely is a concern, but he is set to come back in early July. So we'll have at least a couple weeks before the deadline of seeing if, you know, that's going to affect him or not in his return. Guys have come back strong from it. Guys have also not come back strong from it. Let's just operate in the assumption that Ryan Jeffers is going to return at least to basically who he was pre-injury, which is a guy that was raking. OPS in 37 games before the injury, 949. Really good year. Hits both lefties, hits both righties. Now, it's not just an outlier season. I mean, maybe to the degree that he's hitting, sure. But you look at 2023 to 2025, 772 OPS. Austin Wells in his career, 688 OPS. This would be obviously a clear upgrade. Defensively, he's not as strong as a defender as Wells, but he is more than suitable. His defense has gotten a lot better over the years. And also, too, he has a relationship, previously worked with Tanner Swanson, who is the Yankees' current director of catching, of course. So this is a deal that we already knew going into this, that this is a no-brainer. But to hear it put out in print, Bob Nightingale, who will hit on some, you know, correct reports every now and then, gets me excited. And what also gets me excited is just writing out the 1 through 9 of what you see right here. So for those audio only, this is with no other move other than offensively adding Ryan Jeffers. Here's the lineup that I have. Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Goldschmidt slash Stanton, batting fifth or DHing, batting fifth and DHing, either Goldie or Stanton. Jazz, Jeffers batting seventh and catching, McMahon, Caballero. So Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Goldschmidt slash Stanton, Jazz, Jeffers, McMahon, Caballero. That is a damn good 1-9. And by the way, everything we talk about here when we do a discussion about a potential deal, they're all separate conversations. So when I write out this 1-9, we're not going to say this lineup paired with a rotation of Schubel, Cam, Free, Cole. No, this is on its own. This is isolated on its own. But still, this 1-9 paired with Cam, Freed, Cole, Rodon speaks for itself. And this is, you know, it's a very easy upgrade for this team to make. And it's so obvious, whether it be just the idea of upgrading the catcher position in general or when you specifically put Ryan Jeffers in here, it's such a clear-cut deadline for the Yankees. And again, this is a conversation about need. Schubel is complete to the side. Forget about him for a second. This is completely about need. What do the Yankees need? Catcher and relievers. They will get relievers. They will get a catcher. And it's seemingly, you would think, I'm operating the assumption it'll be Ryan Jeffers. And this is another reason why it's so easy to get excited about the potential of this team come October, because there's not that much work to be done. There is, but it's very direct and obvious. Again, catcher, relievers. Legrandhe, another good outing in AAA yesterday relief-wise. He'll be up somewhat soon, maybe really soon. There is a corresponding move to come. Elmer was sent down, and it can't be Jake Bird brought back up. So some sort of reliever is coming up here. I don't think we've gotten word on that just yet. No. I'm not saying it's going to be Legrandhe. I don't think it'll be Legrandhe yet, but at some point soon, probably as soon as July, we'll have Legrandhe up here. And then you have the deadline. You have Weathers and Warren come October when you only need four starters. They both will inevitably go to the bullpen. Clark Schmidt's returning as well. That deadline, external, internal, everything we talked about, we know the bullpen will be upgraded. Offensively, the main thing to do here is go get a catcher. And it seems like it's going to be Ryan Jeffers, which we've been all over for obvious reason. He's really good, and he would be a clear-cut upgrade. Even if you just look at his production from 2023 to 2025, where, again, 775 OPS, hits righties, hits lefties, is not bad defensively, not as good as Wells. And we always got to make sure we're fair, not just like, Wells sucks, he can't do nothing right. No, Wells is a damn good defender, contrary to, you know, that first inning catch interference. That wasn't a great return. But, yeah, I mean, it's such a simple upgrade. But also, when you look at the big product, the big picture of what the Yankees lineup 1-9 would be with him, it's a damn good lineup. Damn good lineup. So as long as the bullpen is upgraided with our starting rotation, this aids everything we've talked about, where this team is the best in the American League, which it currently is right now without Jeffers, without the bullpen upgraded. And Schubel aside, and that in terms of the Dodgers possibly getting him too, this is a team where, no doubt about it, gives us our best chance to win than years previous, because the lineup is deep, professional hitters, and listen, we talk about a lot, like, you could have a black hole in the lineup, as long as everybody else is producing, you can get by. And hey, McMahon continues just to come through with some big hits, has not been atrocious by any means. We know about his defense at third base. Caballero frustrates you at times, not even so much offensively, but more so on the base pass lately. And that was another bad thing about the Red Series, like, the Yankees base running was very irritating. But one thing also to remember here, like coming off the Sunday game against the Reds, Bellinger was DHing. You had, and here's the thing about Volpe. Volpe has been exciting me lately because I want to see him do well. Just from that alone, I like seeing him with an OBP north of 370. He's been an above league average hitter. Volpe's stats are in a good spot. But when we first talked about, I think it was a couple weeks ago, it was like the Yankees and I have to accept the truth about Anthony Volpe. It had nothing to do with the offense. I think we even said something along the lines of, yeah, like Volpe's slumping right now for all we know. Like, and I'm not saying he was a good hitter, but I also never really said Caballero was a great hitter either. It was about the defense. You're a better defensive team with Jose Caballero playing shortstop. And that goes along with whether it be the bad relay throw against Boston, which, hiccup, whatever you want to call it, that was bad. But even like watching some double plays get turned, it feels like some DPs might get turned, or might that didn't get turned, might have been turned if Caballero was playing short. We know about the arm strength of Volpe. The Yankees' best defensive team was not fielded yesterday. And the best defensive team includes Bellinger in left. Jones is a better center fielder defensively than Grisham is right now, but Jones isn't starting in October, so that's neither here nor there. Grisham in center, Judge in right field, Caballero at shortstop. Now, in regards to the lineup that we just put out before, if it is Goldschmidt DHing and not Giancarlo Stanton, which it'll go back and forth, no matter what, we're in a good spot because the other one will be on the bench and I'm chilling either way. And if it's against a lefty, obviously Goldschmidt will DH. And I think come the playoffs against a lefty, Volpe probably will, good chance he does start at shortstop. But we're just talking against a righty, which more often than not, you're going to be facing righties. Cobbier should be at short. Bellinger obviously will be in left. Grisham will be in center. Judge will be in right. If it's Goldschmidt at DH, or Goldschmidt and Rice both in the lineup, no Stanton, you play Goldschmidt at first. Because Rice, he's not great defensively at first. He's not an abomination. And I think the eye test, for the most part, still has served that he's been better than, what was it, minus 10 defensive runs saved. It does feel like it's standing out a little bit more lately, though, whether it be not knowing whether to stay back on a ball and let Jazz field it, or this was a rare occurrence. But that play the other day, which, not a great throw, not a perfect throw by Volpe, but that was not a scoop ball. That was a ball that Rice obviously should catch. He'd tell you that, too. Goldschmidt's the better defender at first base. We know that. So if there's a situation, which there likely definitely will be, where, all right, you're playing both Rice and Goldschmidt, you would DH Rice and start Goldie at first base. So defensively, that's something to keep in mind here, too, where, you know, people, I feel like, again, not knocking anybody for this. We've talked about it a lot. Like, people are watching the Knicks. You get the World Cup going on. There'll be a lot of, like, Yankee fans who are casual Yankee fans, which is totally fine. They start to trickle back in, and they see a game. Like, say yesterday was your first, or the last 2 days, like, you just started getting back in Yankee baseball. Like, all right, I need something to watch. Time to revert back to the Yankees. Word up. Welcome back. You watch the last two games, and it feels like same old Yanks. Homer or bust. No. The Yankees have not been homer or bust all season long. They've been hitting homers, but they also lead baseball in stolen bases. They have constantly come through with stringing hits together, making things happen, hitting with runners in scoring position. I like to use OPS. They have the third highest OPS in baseball with runners in scoring position. Someone would be like, push back and be like, yeah, but they have the ninth best batting average in baseball is not a knock, by the way. But also, too, if the Yankees had a good OPS with runners in scoring position, like they have had all season, they had a good OPS the last two games with runners in scoring position, they would have won those games. There were a lot of missed opportunities, and that's fine. That's baseball. That sort of thing. Granted, they should have hit the Reds' bullpen, but that was whatever. Some of the defensive sloppiness yesterday irritated me, but like, I'm not worried about the Yankees winning the American League East. I'm not worried really even about the regular season anymore. So with that, in-game it frustrates me, but long-term I know Jose Cabrera can be playing left field. Cody Bellinger's not going to be DHing. And ideally, at least against righties, you ain't going to be having Anthony Volpe playing shortstop, which he wasn't the biggest of our issues here, but just, again, some double plays that could have been turned, possibly if Cabrera was at short. We know he's a better defender. I mean, that's what this has all come back to. And it's not that Volpe's bad, it's just that Cabrera was really good. Offensively, listen, when Volpe's hitting the way he has been, there might be days where I do take Volpe offensively over Caballero, but it's never been about that. We never thought Caballero was like great offensively anyways, and he's still been fine. Like, the base running mistakes, I mean, both of them, honestly, Caballero and Volpe are guilty of it the last week or so, it seems. But nonetheless, like, I don't got to tell you guys this, but if you're somebody that is just getting back into Yankee baseball, like, the last 2 days is not a representation of what this team has been. Really the complete opposite. Truly, they have hit with runners in scoring position. They have done more than just homer or bust. But if you just tune back in the last 2 days, you see, and they were talking about it, because this series, it was a case, when they haven't hit homers, they haven't been scoring. That literally is, like, really has just been this series. And there'll be stretches every now and then, whatever. But no, trust me, for those that are just getting back in, this team, and it's part of why it's been so refreshing to watch, they've been hitting with runners in scoring position. They've been stealing bases. The last couple days were just some frustrating baseball, particularly because of the defense. But again, long term, you ain't going to be having Cabrera playing left. You're not going to be having Cody Bellinger, the best defensive left fielder in baseball, DHing. There was a time where the Yankees put out a punt lineup this season. Yesterday was it. And that's another thing that they've gotten so far removed from, is they really haven't been doing that. That was an issue a lot way back when. They've learned from that, at least more often than not, to not just give in a final game of the series, not just assume you're going to beat the Reds, which you really should never do, because the Reds seemingly, it almost feels like have our number, at least at home, the last few years. Like, didn't we get swept? Yeah, we got swept by the Reds, I think, in 2024, if I recall correctly. Last year, I think they won a couple games against us at home. With that said, clearly I'm making my point here clear that while it frustrates me in-game, there's a reason we didn't even lead with the Reds today in that series. It's so easy to get over. Like, there's nothing to actually take from that to be worried about. At least we didn't already know, you know? By the way, because of the defense too, I'm not even going to give too much shit to Camilo Duvall yesterday, because there's probably plenty of opportunities where I can actually justifiably give him crap. But the defense yesterday, not great. I mean, that Jazz ball at the middle, which that can't happen because Jazz is our second baseman. Jazz will be playing second base unless we do get Luis Arraez, which again, all these thoughts are always separate. So like when we talk about Arraez on Friday's show, we don't discuss going forward as if Arraez is going to be on the team. When we talk about Tarik Skubal topic one, we don't then talk about our posting rotation assuming Skubal is going to be on the rotation. Same with, like, we don't assume he's going to be a Dodger either. Like, they're all isolated in their own. For right now, at least, in all likelihood, Jazz is our second baseman. That's a ball that Jazz has to knock down. Doesn't mean he's going to make the play at first base, but him not knocking that ball down allows it to go into center field, which, now that I remember, Jose Caballero was playing center field at that point. Like, that's not what our postseason team is going to look like. So, just some quick thoughts there on the Red Series. With that said, we move on to a road trip beginning tonight. 7-game set against the Tigers and then the Red Sox. 3-game set in Detroit begins tonight. The Red Sox series will begin Thursday night. Some pitching notes. Game one tonight, Cole, who of course was pushed back, and remember, there was no health issues. They just, a lot of games in a row, so the Yankees wanted to give everybody an extra day. Probably heavily based off Cole, to be honest, but Cole said he was totally fine. Anyways, he'll now pitch tonight, game one in Detroit. Cole, 2-1, 2.57 ERA so far, versus Framber Valdez in year one of being a Tiger, of course, former Astro. Seemingly not a great guy. Lefty, though, so you'll probably see Volpe at short, Caballero in right, and Goldschmidt, of course, will be in there DHing, or playing first, Rice DHing. Framber's 3-5 with a 4.09 ERA so far this year. Obviously, he's been pretty good in the past, still more than capable of putting up a damn good outing. The Yankees have actually hit Framber pretty decently over the last couple years. But yeah, Cole versus Framber tonight, game two. Oh, by the way, tonight's game, 6:10 first pitch. Game one tonight, 6:10 first pitch. Tuesday and Wednesday game are 6:40 first pitches. So yeah, Cole versus Framber tonight, game two. Rodon versus Casey Mize, who's been pretty good this year, 2-4, 2.58, of course, former first overall pick. He's been pretty damn good this year. Rodon versus Mize in game two. Game three, which is a prime game, Amazon Prime on Wednesday night, Ryan Weathers, who pitched really well on a, what was that? That was series finale against the White Sox. Ryan Weathers had a nice bounce back outing. He was really good. He'll go in game three for the Yankees, and going for Detroit in game three is Mr. Tarik Skubal. And then, yeah, 4-game set, which we'll preview a little bit more come Thursday morning against the Red Sox, will start. A couple of games are on national TV. So Saturday's game is on ABC, afternoon game on ABC. And then Sunday, our first Sunday night game, if I remember correctly, on NBC/Peacock. So kind of interesting. Anyways, 7-game road trip begins tonight, 3 games in Detroit. One day at a time, and yeah, Yanks enter play 2 games ahead of the Rays for the first place in the American League East. Still not like even really paying attention to the Rays at this point anymore. I don't worry about them at all. The regular season is not too much of my concern besides getting the first seed, the one seed, best record in baseball, which is why a series like the Reds, losing a game like the Reds yesterday, like it is frustrating. You know, like you can do a punt lineup every now and then, or you could do Bellinger a day at DH. Like that's all well and good, especially given how much baseball we're playing in this stretch. But it can't be like a common theme, obviously. So let's bounce back tonight, yo. Yankees, Tigers, Cole versus Framber. We'll be live right around 5:30 for a little pregame. And yeah, first pitch at 6:10. I will see you guys later. Until then, have a great start to your week. And yeah, click like and stream if you do not mind. It does help out a great deal. Remember to use code Rourke, access code to get into the GameStop tournament. Yankees merch, link in bio. Wear my nice Cole shirt. I think that's all I got, yo. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll see you later tonight for Yankees, Tigers. Until then, let's go Yanks.